You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined by Spike Friedman. Spike, we have the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football. In Seattle. We're going to have Al Michaels calling the game, so get ready for the Eddie Lacy, J.D. McKissic stuff.
I'm not ready.
I'm scared.
I'm not ready.
But
I want to be,
yeah, I would not say
very
I'm ready.
Clear. I'm not ready. I'm not ready, honestly. And we talked about this earlier this week. Eddie Lacy was fine last week, but I'm not ready in a world where Mike Davis is healthy for Eddie Lacy to be getting enough snaps that Al Michaels is confused about who's in our backfield.
I hope he, like, realizes his mistake and mentions it during the broadcast so it can come full circle. But
yeah.
In no scenario should Eddie Lacy be getting enough carries to impact this game. But when run plays go for negative yards most of the time when he touches the ball, it's hard not to have an impact in a negative way. We have the preview show today. We're going to go over a few things that I want to see on Sunday. We're going to go over Spike's matchups. And then we have a fun little treat for you at the end of the show, which you'll have to stick around and wait out and see.
Yeah. Grant, how are you doing? Before we dive in, how are you, Grant? How's your morning?
You know, it's going well. This is kind of unfamiliar for me. Usually I'm the one asking you.
Yeah, I know. I'm putting you on the spot.
No, I'm doing well. I was taking care of my dogs earlier. Nice. I was dropping my siblings off at school, but now I'm here, I'm locked in, I'm ready to go. Full focus is on this show, so let's get it started. All right, so we're gonna kick things off with some things that I want to see going on Sunday night. And the first thing is variance in the run game for the Seahawks. If they're going to be stubborn about running the ball, at least in the first quarter, they should mix it up. Don't have Eddie Lacy running to the outside. And on the flip side, don't have J.D. McKissic running into the inside of the defense. You got to give McKissic space and room to run. That's what you got to do with your playmakers and guys that are faster than the majority of the people on the field. And
this is actually a really interesting thing that you're bringing up, and it's something that's come up with the Seahawks a lot and is actually a trend league-wide, which not so much a trend, it's just like a fact of football, which is that personnel groupings and who's in the game at any given moment doesn't always have enough of an impact on a play caller's decision-making. And I think what you're speaking to about when Lacy's in the game or when McKissic's in the game or when Davis is in the game and the limits of the playbook in each of those three very different situations, those limits are not always taken into account by Daryl Bevel, who has to take into account so much else when he gives a play package to Russell Wilson.
We see the attention to detail when they draw up plays for Russell Wilson, and then they kind of use up, you know, all of their creativity on his passing plays and plays tailored for him. And so if they want it to be successful and take away possessions from Philadelphia, they're going to need to mix it up and have a little variety in the game.
Yeah. And they're going to need to run the ball. As much as we hate it, like, the fewer possessions that Philadelphia offense gets, the better. We are not the turnover machine that we have been in the past. I think we're 10th in the league in takeaways. So we don't just want them to be driving the field on us.
Right. And going into my next point, someone who really makes the most out of all his possessions and does what he can to move the sticks is Carson Wentz. They're going to have to contain him. And what I mean by that is that he's going to have those plays where he picks up those first with his legs, but you have to do a good job of limiting them. We see the Seahawks give up the occasional first down run to, you know, a quarterback that's not known for really running, and Carson Wentz is more than a willing runner. And so they're going to need to key in on that. And you know, he's a guy that likes contact, so I don't know if he's going to be sliding and getting down before contact like Russell Wilson does. So, you know, go for the ball in some cases and really, you know, don't overcommit, but be aggressive in keeping him behind the line of scrimmage.
I'll say this. Coming into the league, Carson Wentz's hop comparable in a lot of ways was Russell Wilson, and they don't look the same. They don't have the same build. Obviously, people out there judge quarterbacks on race to a degree. They're not the same race, but they are very similar players in that they can throw into tight windows when they're on. Their only issues are when they're occasionally a little bit inaccurate, but really what makes them similar is their ability to elude pass rush, extend plays with their feet, and then run for first downs. They're both incredible at that and have been since they were in college. I mean, the question with Carson Wentz was, what is the level of competition he was up against, and would that footwork sort of translate into the pros? And it absolutely has. Other than Deshaun Watson, who we've already seen this year do some damage to the Seahawks defense, in terms of quarterbacks who are most similar to Russell Wilson in the league, Carson Wentz is, I think, right now at the top of that list. And so that's, like, very challenging. We've seen Colin Kaepernick blow up this defense, you know, years ago. We watched Jared Goff and Matt Ryan run for first downs against us. It's scary. Though I will say, some of the advantage of us knowing that Wentz is that good is that we won't be caught unawares. Sometimes when we get beat by quarterbacks running who are elderly white gentlemen or whatever, like in this case, we know we're going into this game knowing that we're going to have to spy Wentz. Or if we don't, then our coaching staff is not as good as I think they are.
Right. It's something that they should probably have already accounted for in the game plan, and having played him last year too is, you know, a lot more beneficial to the Seahawks. And,
although when we played him last year, man, that was a different Carson Wentz.
That was a very different Carson Wentz.
Although, I mean, that was overthrow Carson Wentz. That was Russell Wilson on a rainy day in the first quarter. You know what I mean? Like, that is a Carson Wentz that I guess could reemerge, but his footwork is so much better this year. We talked to the Locked On Eagles guys about it. It's this one of the biggest stories in the league is that Carson Wentz made that sophomore leap. And so you can't bank on him just dropping the ball into not Cam Chancellor, but probably Bradley McDougal's hands twice and just making it easy on us.
Yeah, exactly. And Russell, like Carson Wentz, like Russell Wilson, the play is never dead until you have him down or the ball hits the ground. So yeah, it's.
That leads me to my matchup of the game. But before we get to that, we should probably take a quick break. So we'll be back right after this with Locked On Seahawks.
We are back, and Spike, you have a specific matchup that kind of stems off the Carson Wentz talk. What is it?
Yeah, so the other factor in last year's Eagles game where the Seahawks just blew the Eagles out of the water, really shut Carson Wentz down. He had one of his worst games as a pro last year. Is the weapons that the Eagles have brought in. They brought in Torrey Smith. They brought in Alshon Jeffrey. Zach Ertz is playing at another level. They're really going to challenge this Seahawks secondary, and it's a secondary full of question marks right now. And those question marks, when I say question marks, I don't mean that it's bad. The Seahawks secondary is probably still good. We still have Earl Thomas. Shaq Griffin's been proving himself all year. Byron Maxwell, although he gave up a number of receptions last week, has looked very good slotting back into the system. Justin Coleman's been excellent out of the slot, and Bradley McDougal's been more than capable as coming in as a replacement for both Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. So I'm not saying that the Seahawks secondary is bad, but I'm saying that we don't know exactly what it is. And with the sort of weapons that the Eagles have, and the ones that I want to key on are Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz, I've got some questions about our ability to hang with them. When it comes to Alshon Jeffrey, you have an incredibly physical pass catcher. The sort of guy who in the past we would have maybe even moved Richard Sherman around the formation to shut down because of his physicality, because of his ability to high point a ball, his incredible catch radius, and his strength. Alshon Jeffrey's not necessarily going to run by you, but he can out-physical you. He's a little bit like DeAndre Hopkins in that regard. He's not quite the route runner, but he's a little more physical. He's really, really good. And the Eagles have been using him to pretty strong effect this year. And without that clear number one cornerback on our roster, I'm really interested to see how these snaps shake out. Are we going to have Shaq Griffin move across the formation to track him? I doubt it. Who's going to get the other snaps at the cornerback slot? Is Jeremy Lane going to stay as our CB1 and Shaq slot back in as CB2? Is it going to be Shaq at CB1? Is Byron Maxwell going to get those snaps? Who's going to play out of the slot? Is Alshon Jeffrey going to line up in the slot at all? I don't know. Those are huge questions. And I think that how the Seahawks adjust and then how effective they are in adjusting are going to determine whether the Eagles are capable of running away with this game. If they aren't able to dominate our secondary, this is going to be a close competitive slugfest. If they are able to sort of pass at will, we're obviously in a lot of trouble. And again, question marks. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. The other one is Zach Ertz. And while we've struggled at times over the course of the Pete Carroll era at defending tight ends, we're not struggling very much right now. We've had a couple issues with tight ends, but it doesn't feel like it did the last couple years when we were getting just beat constantly by the likes of Tyler Eifert and other good tight ends, Jason Witten. So I'm not terrified of Zach Ertz right now, but he's playing at a level that only Gronk and Kelce in Kansas City are playing at. So it's a little scary to see probably the third best tight end in the league, sorry Jimmy Graham, you're number four, come into our house while we don't have Cam Chancellor. At the same time, Cam Chancellor is the one who blew a lot of those tight end coverages. Maybe Bradley McDougal is going to be great, and we aren't going to have any issues with the tight end. I guess what I'm saying is this matchup of the Eagles passing game against a reformed Seahawks secondary is going to be really fascinating to watch, and I think will, in the end, determine how this game goes, whether this game plays out the way the Seahawks want it to, or whether the Eagles are able to get the jump on us, and we're going to be playing from behind all night.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing you mentioned about adjustments that the Seahawks will have to make, I think that, you know, they can look back not to the 49ers game, but to the Atlanta game and see how Jeremy Lane struggled with these big physical receivers in Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu, and see that maybe Byron Maxwell or Shaq Griffin would be a better matchup for Jeffrey on the outside.
Yeah, although I will say, Julio Jones didn't go off on us the way he did the next week. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe you just give up on Alshon Jeffrey, let him get his 140, and see what happens everywhere else. I don't know, man. It's cool. It's crazy. It's wild. It's going to be fun. I mean, it's not fun that Richard Sherman's hurt, but it's going to be weird.
Yeah, it makes for an interesting storyline. And I think that the combination of Bobby Wright and Bobby and KJ Wright, it's going to be funny to watch how they deal with the threat of Wentz running and then also the coverage assignment with Zach Ertz, because we've seen them both cover tight ends well at times, Bobby more so, and then KJ struggles a little bit more than Wagner. But it's going to be a very good matchup, and I'm excited to watch that. And
They're going to have to balance that with defending a really good Eagles running attack. Grant, you looked at the running attack a little bit. What do you see in that matchup?
Well, it's a great matchup because you have the Eagles rushing attack that has so much variance and has running backs who can really do it all. And then you have a Seahawks defense who's been really, really great defending the run over the past 4 weeks, and then 5 out of 6 weeks, they haven't allowed a 100-yard rushing performance from any team besides the Texans. One really important thing is that they have to bottle up the Eagles' carries on first and second down to prevent these third and manageable situations all game, because because the Eagles are so good in converting third downs, and they get into third and manageable where they can get those intermediate routes, or Carson Wentz can pick it up with his legs. So they have to key in on that. And I'm calling on Bradley McDougal not to be Cam Chancellor in the running game, because that's a big ask, but just to be decent in his absence. He can't overcommit, but you got to tackle fundamentally. We've seen both Ajayi and Blunt hurdle defenders after going too low. I know that's not a blaring thing, like that's on the scouting report and that they really need to key on and watch out for, but it's something to be aware of. It's just the small things against these Eagle running backs that are going to be prove to be big in this matchup.
Yeah, and it's the sort of thing where we were talking about it on the Seahawks side, that maybe sometimes we don't call the right plays for the personnel we have in the game. Eagles have been really good at maximizing their running back talent when it's in the game. It's sort of a bizarro Seahawks backfield where they have five options, all of which are working, whereas we have like five options of which like half of one is occasionally working.
Yeah, and it goes to how strong they are on the right side of the offensive line for the Eagles, and they really dominate on that side of the ball. And then you look on the flip side, and the right side of the Seahawks offensive line is
not kind great.
Of a bizarro Eagles offensive line. So
yeah,
it's kind of like the opposite of a mirror effect, and it's really going to be a big game for Sheldon, for Jerron Reed, for Nas Jones to get in the Eagles' backfield and stop these running plays before they get started, really.
Yep. I think that they're going to be able to do that. I think it's going to be – I think this is one aspect of this game being in Seattle that's really important is that – ideally, this crowd will be loud. We've had some issues with that. But I'm just thinking about it in terms of we're going to need to get the jump on that line. And we've got issues with jumping off sides. But Michael Bennett needs to be on his game. And if we were playing in Philadelphia and they could throw a lot of pre-snap nonsense at us, it would be harder for him to be as dominant in the run game. I think if the Seahawks win this game, it's going to be because Michael Bennett – provides that next defensive lineman dominating, as you said, on first and second downs from the outside in the run game, not letting them get outside, not breaking contain, and in fact getting some of those big hits in the backfield that create second and 15, third and 12, those sort of down and distance where we might be able to eat on Carson Wentz again. We might be able to get that turnover that we need. And I think that, yeah, I think we can do that with Reed and Richardson inside and Bennett outside. Like, that is we got a good D-line. We all know that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if they can take away the running game and put it all on Carson Wentz, it's going to be a really big game and seeing, you know, how the Seahawks defense looks against a legit team. Not the Falcons, but, you know, just the number one team in the NFC. So it's going to be a big test for them. And it's going to be, you know, a test for Carson Wentz. If he has no running game, you know, he hasn't really lit it up in terms of passing yards and completion percentage. And so if they force Carson Wentz's hand and force him to make those throws, you know, in third and long, you know, I'm not gonna say I love the Seahawks' chances, but they are definitely better.
Yeah, I as good as Carson Wentz has been this year, again, he's Russell Wilson good. He's not Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady good, where, like, they are a, as Robert May says about Aaron Rodgers, a flying dragon through the sky, burning down opposing defenses. It's more that you can't end him. You can't end drives. You can't get off the field against him. So it's a different sort of threat than, like, the Packers when we have to go to Lambeau present. So it's going to be really interesting. Speaking of really interesting, we've got a little fun treat for you after this break, and then we're going to pick this game. We'll be back right after this. Locked On Seahawks!
Okay, we are back, and as we advertised, we do have a special treat for you guys. Yesterday, the trailer for the Avengers Infinity War movie came out, and it kind of sparked something in my mind. Spike is going to not follow my lead, but he's gonna string along because he's not as big of a Marvel fan as I am.
I saw an Avengers movie. I've seen a couple of the solo movies. I saw half of Ant-Man on a plane. I'm ready to go.
All right, half of Ant-Man. That's, like, really small. So first off, we're gonna compare the Seahawks team to the Avengers team. And I think the most obvious is Russell Wilson is Captain America. Spike, do you have any objection to that?
I guess he's a dork, and yep. He loves America, and he's like, he used to be small, but he plays big. Yeah, all right, that's fine. I'm done. Great, love that.
Right, he's accurate with the shield.
Just to be clear, what we're about to do is compare all the Seahawks to Avengers. So get ready, folks. Strap in.
Austin Davis. No. Okay. So I guess next up, KJ Wright appointed himself as Spider-Man. Like, he gave himself that nickname. Oh. But I think a better casting would be Tyler Lockett. Like, he's like a young guy. He's like a little goofy too, and he's super fast. And, you know, just kind of makes things happen for the team.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with that. I was going to say Doug Baldwin, but when you said young guy and, like, yeah, Doug Baldwin doesn't have the right personality to be a Spider-Man type. I honestly did not know Spider-Man was part of the Avengers. I thought they just put Tony Stark in that last movie. I didn't know that he joined the team.
Well,
big
ups
to Spider-Man.
Spoiler alert, he offers for him to join the team, but, like, he's kind of like an auxiliary member of the club.
Okay, so he's sort of, what would that, I guess, I don't want to make this dark, but that's kind of a Percy Harvin situation.
I mean, I guess. We're talking about personality for the role, and I don't think that Percy kind of fits that at all.
Okay, I saw Spider-Man 3, man. Tobey Maguire, Dark Tobey Maguire.
I
Dark
mean,
Spider-Man is definitely Percy Harvin. Regular Spider-Man is definitely Tyler Lockett. Let's move on.
all right. I think another kind of obvious comparison is Bobby Wagner as the Hulk, because he's so intelligent, he's so smart, but at the end of the day, he's just gonna rough you up. He's gonna kick your ass.
See, for the Hulk, I think I gotta go on in the trenches for the Hulk. I'm thinking like who is I think I'm gonna go Michael Bennett, 'cause he's just like shedding blockers and throwing them around, but he does it with the tiny shoulder pads, which suggests to me that he's ripped through his bigger shoulder pads when he hulked out in the past, and that he sort of has with his uniform, the appearance of a Bruce Banner post Hulk out. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Michael Bennett for my personal Hulk pick.
Well, because like you see Hulk jumping across like buildings in the city, and so like Bobby Wagner covers the field kind of like that. So
See, I'm going back
I
to the
think I
old
think both of
school.
them go.
I'm going old school Lou Ferrigno Hulk. For me,
Right.
that's the true canon. New school Mark Ruffalo Hulk, questionable. I will say, I'm going to use this opportunity to say the Eric Bana Hulk movie directed by Ang Lee is one of the worst films of all time. And I just want to shout that out right now on the podcast, how bad a movie that is.
Right, and on the subject of bad people, we're gonna cast Tom Cable, and as Amina Khan alluded to on Twitter yesterday, he kind of looks like Thanos, and I can see the comparison even more
Yeah.
so than just appearance, because he went to Seattle deemed as an almighty and powerful coach and a bad person, and
Yeah.
he's left a path of destruction on the Seahawks offensive line. But Thanos is a destroyer of worlds. He wants to bring an end to all life. I think that, that kind of suits Tom Cable.
Sure. Yeah, I'm on board. I mean, A, they look alike. B, they suck. All right, we're good.
Yeah, hopefully in the end they lose. My next one is Luke Wilson as Thor. He's fast, he's powerful,
Oh.
and more so than anything, he cut his long, beautiful hair.
Yeah, the hair really does it. Does Thor ever like drop his hammer at a crucial moment? I feel like he did fighting
Yeah,
Loki at one
no,
point. Yeah.
he's dropped his hammer a good amount of times, and even in the new movie, he's dropped his hammer.
Spoiler alert.
You know what?
Oh.
As sure as Luke Wilson dropping a ball every now and then, Thor drops his hammer every now and
I
then.
w oh wait, hold on. Wait, let me see if I can nail this. Ragnarok, more like Ragna Techno. All right.
I see where you went with that,
Yeah, right?
but I mean, like, Ragnar rocks for hands. You can go
No.
either way with that. And I think that
That here's
either
yeah,
way
let's
is
just
bad.
let's get out of here. Let's get out of here, man. We gotta get out of here.
All right, my last one is Cliff Avril as War Machine James Rhodes. He's had a brutal injury that could take him out, but he's a superhero on and off the field, and in War Machine's case, in and out of the suit.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I buy that. I don't know why I was like I want to cast Doug Baldwin as somebody, and
Well, he
I guess like
deserves to be a part of the team.
Doug Baldwin kind of looks like Don Cheadle, but like that's not good enough. I don't know. Yeah, I'll go with your one on this. I'll also say, is Iron Man not in the Avengers anymore? I feel like we
No, he
didn't cast.
is, but I don't feel like anybody like is an arms dealer for a certain amount of time, and like if there's gonna be like a super rich person on the team, like you just gotta like look at the contracts, I guess.
Interesting, because I'm like, is Paul Allen Iron Man? Is Pete Carroll Iron Man? I guess Pete Carroll is Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, he's the Nick Fury of this team. He's putting it all together, and his impact is seen even when he's not in the movies.
Oh man, come on, we gotta. There is Earl Iron Man? Is
Well,
that's
I
different.
thought of Earl as Iron Man for one reason, and it doesn't really, I mean, it doesn't really go aside for actually two reasons. One, he's flying all over the field. Iron Man
Yeah, that's the
flies. We
obvious
got
one.
that. We got that. But he's also like the alpha dog. Like his personality on the field, it's exuberant, and it sees through his uniform, and more so than the Seahawks uniform, it's Earl Thomas under there. Like you see Iron Man, it's Tony Stark under there.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
And
Great.
I think that was a
Oh, we
stretch.
didn't. Oh, and you asked about Austin Davis, Hawkeye, right?
All right, yeah, Hawkeye. Like, no one cares about Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that works. I think that
was great. That was great. Avengers Seahawks. Nobody out there is going to do this, but if somebody out there wants to do it and Photoshop any or all of the people we just said onto that list, or come back at us with their own suggestions, they should do it. They should tweet at Locked On Seahawks. They should tweet, which I believe is just at Locked Seahawks. They should tweet it at Grant Goldberg or at Spike Friedman. Any of us, we will take the heat for getting it wrong, and we will appreciate Photoshops if you get it right. Love it. Now we got to pick the game, Grant. We got a big game. Stakes are high. Seahawks win this, they're in great shape to make the playoffs. They lose it, they're not in great shape to make the playoffs. Eagles are really good. I don't know, man. Who do you got? Who do you got, Grant?
Well, see, here's the thing. Because there's two apparent things. There's one, my blatant Seahawks homerism, and there's the fact that the Eagles are really good. They're so good. And so I could see this either happening two ways. I can see the Eagles coming out of Seattle with a 31-24 victory. And then I can see the Seahawks squeaking out like a 20-17 win. And that's going to be dependent on how they stop the run and how they get the run going. Because in order to have these low-scoring games with the Eagles, you're going to need to take those possessions away. So I'm playing both sides because I can't pick this game with a clear head.
Seahawks 35, Eagles 17. I don't know, man. Why not? Why not?
You know what? Maybe, I like it.
Maybe. Why not? You know, 18-point win. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. We beat the hell out of them last year. I don't know, man. Like, I still don't believe. Well, and that's the thing. Like, secretly, like, I keep watching the Eagles. I keep seeing that they're good. I get it, man. I see that they're good. I get it. All the stats say they're good. They're balanced. They got talent all over the field. They got Fletcher Cox. He's going to destroy Russell. I get it all. But, man, I just don't believe it. And I don't know why. I can't explain it. I don't believe in the Eagles. I don't believe in the Panthers. Those are the teams in the NFC I think are less good than their record. The Panthers, I'm backed up by the stats. They actually are less good than their records. The Eagles, I don't know why. I think that the Seahawks team, even down a bunch of guys, is going to eat. I don't know why. I don't know why. I could be so wrong. I don't want to be on record picking the game this way. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I think that the Eagles aren't as good. I don't know why, man. It's dumb.
The thing
it's
is,
dumb.
Like,
they might be great. I don't. I'm just like Grant. I'm Grant. Get me out of here.
All right. So the thing is, and I've said kind of throughout this season on the show, is that you know something always happens with the Eagles season that kind of like takes it off the rails and like to make the Eagles like fall back to earth. And so you know we're still waiting for that to happen. So maybe it's this week. I don't know, but Bobby Wagner had a great quote about the Eagles, and it was, what do you remember about the Eagles game last year? And Bobby Wagner quite simply said, we won. And so, no, they have to like go back to that and realize, you know, it's a lot of the makeup is the same team. It's just, you know, it's coming all together for them. And so for the Seahawks to go out there and win this game, one, I think it'd make for very, very funny and interesting national conversation about the Seahawks and the Eagles. And two, it definitely calm a lot of the worries for Seahawks fans. If they get out of this game with a win, you know, in any fashion, you know, that's a great thing for the Seahawks. If they do it through the run game, if they do it through the air or defensive or special teams touchdowns, any way you can piece together a win, it gives back hope for the Seahawks and their playoff run and a hopeful Super Bowl run if they get a win on Sunday.
Yeah, so here's something I want to say, which is related to something Kenneth Arthur Field Goals tweeted out earlier this week, which is that the Seahawks are not bad. They are not as good as they have been in the past, but they're somewhere between the 6th and 11th best team in the league. And the Eagles are good, but they're somewhere between the 1st and, like, 7th best team in the league. Like, we don't know enough to know the Seahawks aren't better than the Eagles or at the very least are very close to the Eagles in terms of just, like, raw talent level. And this matchup isn't quite as brutal as Atlanta's in terms of strength against weakness, where I'm like, oh, man, even though it's primetime at home, I don't buy it. Now, there's a world where the Eagles are the best team in the league and the Seahawks are the 11th best team in the league, and with all the evidence we have, that could be true, in which case we're probably going to lose this game by 10 points. I just don't think that's true. I don't think it's true. I don't know, man, Grant. I'm picking an 18-point win. I'm getting weird. Why not?
You know, we got to have faith in our team.
Yeah.
And
we get nuked
that.
Between now and then. Like, who cares, man? I'm picking it. I'm going big. And if I have to go home after, I'll go home.
Yeah, you know what? That's the sacrifice you need to take sometimes. And I think, you know, that's a good place to end, because we want to end on a good, strong, confident 18-point win note. So you can leave a 5-star review on iTunes with your Twitter handle, and you will be entered to win a Pro Football Focus Edge membership. You should play draft if you don't have an addictive personality, because it is an addictive game. I know that secondhand because I'm not old enough to play it yet.
Yeah, I'm about to pick a team right now. Who should I pick, Grant? Who should I pick? Russell Wilson's the top-rated quarterback this week. I don't know. I kind of like...
Well, here's the thing. Russell Wilson's the top-rated quarterback in my heart every week, and it was just his birthday. So I think we should be nice to Russell Wilson. I think.
Well, I know, but I'm like, I kind of like Tom Brady at Buffalo a little more. I kind of like Kirk Cousins at Dallas.
Buffalo's defense has really scaled it back from their hot start, too.
Yeah. Let's go Tom Brady.
All right.
Hold on. I'm gonna keep picking this while you close this out. Le'Veon Bell against Cincinnati looks good.
You're making this real hard on me.
Okay. Well, keep talking. Talk over me. This
all right. So we had the idea for the Seahawks Avengers just to mix it up.
Gurley at Arizona.
But you know, we wanna you know have some feedback from you guys. So do what Spike said, and you know. Reach out to us on Twitter. And it's at Lock Seahawks, at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Friedman. And you can
Keenan
even
Allen
add and Spence. Make a thread to add to the Thanos Tom Cable Photoshop I made yesterday, which is total nightmare fuel. So you can go ahead and do that. Follow us on Twitter.
I just picked a team. I'm in a 111-person draft league for $1. The winner gets $25, I guess. And I got Tom Brady, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, Keenan Allen, and Antonio Brown. Get excited, folks.
All right. For Locked On Seahawks and Spike's draft team, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.